the Dave Ross Show on your new FM choice for breaking news
and stimulating talk.
News Talk 97.3, Cairo FM.
Where Seattle stays in touch.
Now, here's the crusader for common sense, Dave Ross.
That's indeed what People Magazine is reporting, that Elon plans to leave Tiger. And as evidence, it has emerged that Elon Nordegren has bought a beachfront estate on an island near Stockholm, actually near the small town where she grew up. So, and the tabloid media has pictures showing her without her wedding ring. New York Post says she's overseeing removal workers at the house she shared with Woods in Florida, moving out, taking the kids with her, and is planning to, quote, go somewhere warm and tiger-free for Christmas. Although it doesn't strike me as an island near Stockholm would be warm. It would certainly be tiger-free, though. So that's what's going on there. So far, just for those of you who are keeping track, the mistress count remains stuck at 14. That's as high as it's gone. But this being the Dave Ross Show, we have more serious stories to discuss, such as, when will it be time to bomb Iran, if ever? That's what everybody wants to know. Actually, that's what they used to want to know before the Tiger Woods story broke. But we still consider it an important story, especially when we can get somebody who knows something about it. And he's here in the studio, Mohammad Sahimi. Now, strictly speaking, you're not a political scientist. You're an engineer, right?
Yes, I am an engineer, yes.
But you do a little political, you do a little Iran study on the side. Huh?
Well, I mean, Iran has a long tradition of having political activists from the engineering side. If you look at even present Iranian leaders, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is an engineer. All the opposition leaders are also engineers. So Iran does have a long tradition in that area.
Huh. So Iran is run by engineers. That would explain why they're designing a nuclear bomb, I guess. but that would also mean they were sensible, practical people, right?
Yes. And, for example, Mir Hossein Mousavi, the opposition leader, is emerging as such. He's an engineer by training. But he is turning out to be a very moderate, reformist, yeah, sensible politician.
Now, Mohammed, you were educated at the University of Tehran.
I did my undergraduate at the University of Tehran Engineering College, and that engineering college also has a long history of producing some of most well-known Iranian politicians. For example, Iran former Prime Minister Mehdi Bazargan, who was the Prime Minister right after the revolution and was one of the people who had a big role in the revolution, was not only a graduate of engineering school at the University of Tehran, but also a professor at the University, College of Engineering.
Well, then so much for Islam being stuck in the 12th century. There is room for modernity in Islam.
Of course. No question about
that. Now, did you leave before the revolution?
I left in March of 1978, just when the first moves for Iranian revolution had started.
And is that the reason you left, because you saw it was coming? Or
No, I came to the United States to get my PhD and then go back to Iran, actually, to teach at the same engineering
college. Oh, so you then returned after the revolution?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did not? No.
By the time I finished, Iran-Iraq war was at its peak in 1984. And I talked to my friends and family back in Iran, and they told me, don't come back for now. Yeah. You know, just to stay there a few more years and then come back after the war. But, you know, once you start a job and you develop roots in your community, it becomes very difficult. That's
right. We are a very friendly, accepting country.
Yes, you are.
And we love engineers.
Yeah.
We love people who can put things together that actually work. Okay. All right. There's been some ominous news from Iran. People are familiar with, of course, their enrichment of uranium, the secret program which was disclosed. Then they started testing missiles. They just tested another one. But I guess the most ominous one is this report, this memo that was discovered, indicating that they either have or are about to develop this neutron trigger, which could only be used, the only practical use for it would be for a nuclear bomb. So first of all, do you believe that Iran is actually building a nuclear bomb, or are they simply doing what they say and trying to find a way to produce electricity?
Well, I think Iran is trying to do both in some way. Iran does want to generate electricity using nuclear reactors. At the same time, I believe Iranian leaders want to put the country in a position that if a national emergency against Iran's national security and territorial integrity arises, then they will be in a position that can make a nuclear weapon on a short notice.
Now, why would they think that this would be a good idea? Just because we tend not to invade countries that have nuclear weapons? Or is there something else going
on? That is actually one reason. I mean, they look at Iraq, for example. They didn't have nuclear weapon and they were invaded and occupied. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, North Korea has a few at least, and they were left alone. But that also has to do with the fact that there is a deeply rooted sense of insecurity in mm-hmm. Iran. It has its historical roots. But even if you just look at the past three decades, the fact of the matter is Iran and the United States have been at odds with each other for three yes. decades. On three sides, Iran is surrounded by U.S. forces in Persian Gulf, in Iraq, and in Afghanistan.
We were hoping they wouldn't notice that. But the thing is, that see, the good part about that, Mohammed, is that since we have them surrounded on the Iraqi side and on the Afghanistan side, and I think, what's up north that we have?
In the north is Russia, at close distance, with thousands Russia. Of nuclear warheads. And in the Persian Gulf, there is U.S. Right. Fifth Fleet.
Right. And that's right, the Fifth Fleet. That's right, there's that. But we are there not to invade them, but to protect them from others trying to invade them. Don't they understand that? We promise. Barack Obama's the president now, and he's a very reasonable person who has no interest in invading Iran.
I don't believe that the question has ever been invading Iran, rather attacking Iran. I don't think invading Iran would be... Mm-hmm. Something easy. Iran is a very large country.
And we've learned our lesson.
Hopefully that the lesson has learned. But the focus has always been on bombing Iran, mm-hmm. bombing nuclear facility and bombing other industrial centers and bombing the army.
So because they're worried we might bomb the nuclear facility, they are in a hurry to get it built so that they can say, if you bomb us, we'll bomb you back?
Well, if we accept the notion that the International Atomic Energy Agency is the most objective analyst of the situation, they have always certified in every report that they issue every mm-hmm. 3 months, they have always said that there is no evidence that Iran has diverted any nuclear material from peaceful purposes to non-peaceful purposes.
Right.
So at least as of now, there is no evidence that Iran has actually tried to make a nuclear weapon. I have no doubt that they have made studies of how to make it. I have no doubt that it's obvious that once a country has uranium enrichment facility, that can in principle be used for making nuclear weapon. But having said that, there is actually no solid, credible evidence discovered by International Atomic Energy Agency that Iran has actually taken practical step towards making a nuclear weapon.
All right, let me just read the part of the New York Times piece on this nuclear trigger.
Yes.
That supposedly they've been making. This is based on a memo, a document, which describes a plan for measuring the output of a device called a neutron initiator, which has no use other than triggering a nuclear explosion. Intelligence agencies are treating this document as if the very paper it was written on was itself radioactive. Once burned when it accepted evidence about Iraq's search for uranium that turned out to be a forgery, the CIA has not declared whether it believes the document is real, according to intelligence officials from several countries. And European spy agencies are similarly cautious. So, in other words, this is all up in the air. There's a document that seems to indicate that they're testing, looking for to test a device which would detect the effects of a neutron initiator, which you would only want to design if you actually were able going to initiate some neutrons. Do you think that? How does this smell to you? Does this smell like a yellow cake uranium forgery? Or do you think this could, in fact, be bona fide evidence that Iran has been lying about its intentions?
I think at this point, at least, I'm skeptical. I don't believe such documents can be leaked out of Iran so easily if they actually exist. So at this point, I'm skeptical. You have to remember that there is a long history of such documents supposedly stolen from Iran or leaked out of Iran, which turn out to be just forgeries. Mm-hmm. The other thing that makes me more skeptical is the fact that this document was first published by Times of London.
Yes.
And Times of London has a long history of publishing such documents about Iran's nuclear program to the extent that it has forced International Atomic Energy Agency a few times to issue statements denying the allegations that have been made in articles by the Times of London. So Times of London, which, by the way, is owned by Rupert Murdoch, has a long history of...
Owned
of,
by
of
Rupert office. Murdoch. Your point? You mean the man who employs Glenn Beck could be accused of perhaps exaggerating the truth?
Well, I mean, what I meant was that his political leanings are obvious, where they lie and so on. So at this point, I'm skeptical. Yes, if the document proves to be authentic, then yes, that clearly indicates that there was or there is a secret nuclear weapon program somewhere in Iran. But at this point, I'm skeptical.
The Iranians, I'm told by people who've been there, like us. Is that true?
It is very much true. Aside from Turkey, I would say that perhaps the only country in the entire Islamic world in which the people are pro-United States mm-hmm. is Iran.
Okay. When we come back after this brief commercial break, I'm going to ask you whether us bombing them would change their affection for us in any way, which we'll do when we return with Mohammad Sahimi, who is a, you're teaching at University of Minnesota?
University of Southern California.
University of Southern California. But you're a graduate of the University of Minnesota.
I graduated from University of Minnesota.
Which makes you, I'm told, a golden gopher?
Yes, I am. I am a gopher, yes. I follow what happens to the gophers, yes.
Are you able to sing the Golden Gopher fight song?
Oh, I have forgotten it. I moved out of 25 years ago.
Well, then I'm not sure you really are a Golden Gopher, because a true Golden Gopher could sing. All right, we'll be back after this.
In Ronadon's Top 5 at 5, the jurors in the Amanda Knox case tell the media why they think she's guilty. Hear the evidence you haven't heard before right here on the Ronadon Show, 97.3 FM.
Should we or somebody else bomb Iran to stop their nuclear program? More scary evidence being presented. We don't know if it's legit or not. But to me, that's the last thing you want to do. But what do I know? I've never been there. So that's why we've invited Dr. Mohammad Sahimi, who is going to be tonight at Town Hall downtown. There's a $10 suggested donation. It starts at 7 o'clock, but parking is easy at the convention center. That's 7 o'clock tonight at Town Hall at 8th and Seneca in downtown Seattle. And he's with us now. And I asked you, you say that that Iranians love Americans. I've heard that from several people, including Rick Steves, who filmed that little travel log there recently. But his point was that if we were to threaten an attack or threaten to bomb them, they would do whatever the nation does. They would circle the wagons and become, jingoistic and anti-American. What do you think?
Oh, of course. Iran is an old nation. It has a long history, and therefore a sense of nationalism and patriotism in Iran is deeply rooted. Therefore, Iran, if you just compare Iran with Iraq, in Iraq, nationalism has never been as strong. First of all, the country was created in 1932. Secondly, from the moment that Iraq became a republic in 1958, pan-Arabism was always advocated.
Pan-Arabism. Yeah.
Pan-Arabism, as opposed to Iraqi nationalism. Even when Saddam Hussein's army invaded Iran, he always presented himself as a defender of the Arabs yeah. rather than as a defender of Iraq. Yet, in a country like that, with weak nationalism, when the United States invaded and occupied Iraq, we saw what the reaction was right. and what the fighting
well,
was.
I think that's predictable. So,
But in Iran, what I'm trying to say yeah. is that in Iran, nationalism has always been very strong. Right. And therefore, although the present government in Iran is despised by a vast majority of Iranian people, I think if the country is attacked by a foreign country, Iranians will rally.
Right. And so that's why I think bombing would be a bad option. But, of course, there are plenty of people who'd say, but as bad as that is, Dave, letting them get a nuclear bomb would be worse because they'd use it to threaten Israel. Would they? Is that why they want the bomb? Is that the real reason they want it, so they can bomb Jerusalem when nobody's looking?
No, I don't believe so. Iranian leaders, as bad as they have been internally, have always been very pragmatic when it comes to foreign policy. They know full well that Israel has a large arsenal of nuclear weapons And they know full well that if they attack Israel, Israel can evaporate Iran many times with its nuclear arsenal.
Which is another aspect of this that doesn't get covered much, but I guess in a way see why Iran feels unfairly treated, because they signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Therefore, they have to disclose all this stuff, and they're not allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Israel did not sign. Therefore, they have never officially disclosed how many nuclear weapons they have, but everybody pretty much agrees they've got some. Is there a way to settle that?
Well, that's one of the point of contentions between Iran and the West. Iran says that the West has always applied a double standard to Iran. So the first step probably would be to get Israel to sign nuclear non-proliferation treaty.
They'll never do that.
Of course, they will never. Well, we should never say never,
never, say
but,
never.
But this would be a good step, or at least advocate forcefully a nuclear-free Middle East. And Iran has always supported that. Iran has always said that as
a... But that's a code word, right? When you say we advocate a nuclear-free Middle East, that's code for let's disarm Israel.
That's very much correct. So the point is, if Iran is trying to make a nuclear weapon, it is purely as a deterrent, not as an offensive force. Iranian leader, as radical as they may seem, are fully aware of the fact that any adventure on their part attacking...
Well, let me ask you this then. Is there something... You're a member of the Union of Concerned Scientists,
yes,
right? So you are also concerned about nuclear proliferation.
Yes.
I imagine then you don't want to see Iran get a nuclear bomb.
No.
Either. So then what would guarantee their security such that even Ahmadinejad would be satisfied that he doesn't need a nuke?
Well, that's another point of... another point that the Iranian leaders have always... talked about. The West must recognize that Iran, as a large country in a turbulent area, has legitimate national security concerns. And those concerns have to be addressed in some way or another. If practical, concrete steps taken towards that, then a new situation may be created. As I said, Iran is surrounded on three sides by U.S. forces. On eastern side of Iran, this is not something that a lot of people talk about. Iran is on border with Pakistan. Pakistan is armed with 60 to 100 nuclear weapons.
Right.
The Pakistani military created and supported Taliban that came to power in Afghanistan before it was overthrown by U.S. forces. And Taliban have always been a bloody enemy of Iran. Right. In fact, when they were in power, Iran almost went to war
with them. Well, why don't they help
them.
Us fight the Taliban then? We're dying for help out there.
In fact, Iran has been a very positive force in Afghanistan. And when the United States in 2001 invaded Afghanistan, it received considerable help. Remember, the force that actually overthrew Taliban in Kabul in fall of 2001 wasn't U.S. forces.
Right.
It was the Northern Alliance
right.
that entered Kabul, and Northern Alliance was a group that was supported, funded, and trained by Iran.
By Iran.
For nearly a decade.
Well, then it sounds like there's an opportunity for a treaty here where we make an agreement with Iran that we reassure them we're not going to invade, and they help us suppress the Taliban,
yes.
because neither one of us wants to see nuclear terrorism, correct?
Exactly.
So what stands in the way of that?
Well...
I tell you what, let me give you a few minutes to think it over because we have a newscast coming up anyway. You
okay.
do have an answer, though, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, thank goodness. Dr. Mohammad Sahimi is going to be at Town Hall tonight starting at 7, back after the news.
The Dave Ross Show on News Talk 97.3, Cairo FM.
Where Seattle stays in touch.
11:35, and I'm very, very excited. I'm almost tingling because I feel that Mohammad and I are on the verge of a breakthrough whereby the U.S. and Iran can resolve their problems over this nuclear thing without firing a shot. And the root of it is that, like us, Iran doesn't like the Taliban, and like us, they don't want the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or anybody, any terrorist organization, getting a nuclear weapon. And part of the reason they want a nuclear weapon is to prevent people like us from invading them, but if we can assure them that we have no intention of invading them, and in fact would be even less likely to invade them if they would help us expunge the Taliban from Afghanistan, we could sign a treaty of some kind. So what stands in the way of that, Mohammed?
Well, the main stumbling block at this point seems to be the demand by the United States that Iran should give up its uranium enrichment program. And Iran is not going to do that. So despite the fact that Iran and the United States have many common interests in that region, including what you mentioned, opposing Taliban and Al-Qaeda, stability in Iraq, free flow of oil from Persian Gulf and Strait of Hormuz, stability in Central Asia and so on, the main stumbling block is the fact that Iran does not want to give its uranium enrichment
program. Okay, what, are we crazy for asking them to do that?
Well, the United States believes that that is basically a cover for Iran making a nuclear weapon.
But you mentioned that the UN International Atomic Energy Agency has found no conclusive evidence that they're in fact building a bomb, correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's what the IAEA has always said. That,
okay. Do we trust them?
Well, in a sense, what the United States wants Iran to do is to prove a negative. In other words, it wants Iran to prove that it doesn't have any.
I know, but isn't that why we have the UN? Don't they have a protocol for demanding snap inspections, for installing cameras, all the other stuff that you do to verify that a country that says it doesn't have nukes is telling the truth?
We do. And in fact, all of Iran's declared nuclear facilities are actually inspected and monitored exactly the way you mentioned.
Okay, well, then the only fear is that they are holding something in reserve. They have another secret facility, which they're not telling us about, and that suddenly, overnight, a missile would rise from the ground with a nuclear warhead on top of it. Is that possible?
Well, not possible, because as I said, Iranian leaders, as despised as they are within Iran, know that any action, stupid actions like that, will bring about a retaliation right. by the United States and Israel that will destroy Iran, evaporate Iran completely.
But we're told that they don't think rationally. That because they're Shiites, they'd be more than happy to sacrifice their entire country to make a point against Israel.
Actually, no. If you look at the suicide bombers have always been Sunnis, not Shiites. The suicide bombing, for example, doesn't have a root in the Shia sect of Islam.
I didn't know that. Yes. All suicide bombers are Sunnis?
All the suicide bombers, the vast majority of them, have always been Sunnis. Shias never actually used that, almost never used that. At the same time, even Israeli leaders have always said that they think that Iranian leaders are rational. In other words, they don't take suicidal action. I don't believe that the fear that Israel has about Iran's nuclear program is that Iran will actually attack Israel. That's not the root cause of the problem. I believe that, and I explained that in an article, I believe what the Israeli leaders are afraid is that an Iran which is armed with nuclear weapon will make Israel unstable to the extent that the elite, the intellectuals, the scientific force, and so on, will leave Israel. And that will threaten the existence of Israel.
Why would it make Israel unstable?
Well, because the
Because of this fear.
Because of the fear. And
but a fear which, I mean, now we're talking about deterrence.
Yes.
Presumably, that's the reason that we still have nuclear weapons. Yes. Because we use it as a Okay, hang on a second. We have some breaking news from Tony Miner. Tony?
Well, Dave, just getting some news that the Mariner fans are going to want to hear. That monster deal that will send pitcher Cliff Lee to the Mariners is now a done deal. It's completed. He's coming to Seattle. And I'll have more on this at the bottom, at the top of the hour.
Excellent. If that can happen, can world peace be far away? So back with Mohammad Sahimi, who has been studying Iran's nuclear program. So the point I was trying to make is, if Israel's truly concerned, and we're truly concerned about Iran launching a nuclear bomb, that's why we have a deterrent. And if we no longer have confidence in our nuclear deterrent to stop that kind of attack, then why are we spending billions and billions of dollars to maintain it?
You have to ask American leaders why they keep it. But again, back to the question of Iran vis-a-vis Israel, I don't think the reason for the fear of Israel government about Iran is that Iran will actually attack Israel. In fact, Zipi Livni, the former prime minister and former foreign minister, and Ehud Barak, the present defense minister, both have said that Iran is not an existential threat to Israel. Israel can handle any attack by Iran.
Okay.
On Israel.
Then why do they then insist that, because they're also insisting that it abandon the entire nuclear program, right? Or not?
Israel insists that Iran should not have any nuclear capability.
Yeah, you're telling me they themselves don't feel it's a threat to their existence. So now I'm really confused.
Well, no. As I said, there are two types of fears here. One is that first...
Okay, well, explain to me why the intellect... You're saying it's, so it's not that Israel won't exist, it's that all the smart people will leave.
The elite people may leave. In fact...
But why?
Well, because of the perception that another country in the Middle East, a Muslim country, with a nuclear bomb, nuclear bomb or nuclear weapon capability, at some point may do something that...
Well, Pakistan's a Muslim country. They've got nuclear weapons. They could probably put them on missiles and fire them. I mean, and the smart folks haven't left Tel Aviv because of that.
In fact, that's, again, one of the points that has always been discussed in Iran, that, you know, there is a double standard here. How come Pakistan, an Islamic country with 60 to 100 nuclear warheads, is not even spoken about? And in fact, if you look at Pakistan, it's a country that is highly unstable. It has a poor population. Right. It has a military that has supported Taliban and so on. And it is armed with nuclear weapons.
Okay, so let me get it straight then, Mohammed. You, as a member of the Union of Concerned Scientists, which is anti-nukes, I mean, you're the guys who have the doomsday clock.
Yes.
You would be willing to trust Iran to maintain a nuclear enrichment program, and you would believe them when they say it's just for electricity.
Well... The uranium enrichment program.
Well, you got to answer yes or no to that question.
I am going.
Okay.
It is a dual use capability. It will be used for generating fuel for reactors, but there is no denying that that capability will also put Iran in a position that can make a nuclear weapon.
Right. They would have to restrain themselves.
They have to restrain. And there is, in the scientific community, this is called the Japan model. Because Japan also in early 1960s decided to go that way. In other words, it decided to create the infrastructure for generating fuel for its reactor, but also put Japan in a position that it can make nuclear weapon if there is a threat by China, North Korea, and so on.
Right. And this we're happy for, we give that deal to Japan, right?
Japan, yes. Japan has full capability to make nuclear weapons.
But that's because we trust Japan. We know that Japan is not going to nuke its customers.
Yes.
Who would they sell TVs to?
Yes.
So maybe that's the answer. As soon as Iran is selling enough stuff to us, we could be assured that as soon as they're selling enough stuff to Israel, once Israel becomes a big customer of Iran, they'd be crazy to nuke them, right?
Well, of course. I mean, there is no question that if Iran and Israel could somehow reach a deal,
what prevents that from happening? Wouldn't Israel be happy to trade with anybody? Wouldn't they?
Oh yeah, of course. I totally agree that Israel will be happy. And in fact, before Iranian Revolution, Iran and Israel had close relations.
Right.
Iran and Israel were
allies.
So
why don't we start that way? Why don't we get the businessmen trading with each other?
Well, the problem is that in Tehran there are leaders that view these things in ideological terms, okay? And once you look at things in ideological terms, well, that's what Iranian people are trying to do. That's why there's a democratic movement in
Iran.
How
can we help? I heard the CIA was trying to give the opposition groups money to help them. That wouldn't work?
That would be a kiss of death.
Yeah,
because, you know,
you mean it doesn't help to say we're going to have regime change with CIA support? That wouldn't be a good campaign brochure.
That would be a kiss of death. But the word...
CIA endorsed. No?
And Iranians do have experience with that. You have to remember that the CIA overthrew Iran's democratic
government in 1953. I know. 1953, I hear that again and again.
Yes,
how I wish we hadn't done that, but I was only 1 year old at the time. I had nothing to do with it, I assure you.
You know, Stephen Kinzer, in his what I consider an excellent book, The Shah's, All the Shah's Men, he said that the root of Islamic Revolution, and in fact the roots of the September 11, 2001 attacks, goes back all the way to 1953.
We have had him on, and I recommend his book, All the Shah's Men, and you'll understand this. Well, it's been great to have you here. I'm sure you'll get a rapturous reception tonight at Town Hall, Mohammed.
Thank you for having me on your program.
Mohammed Sahimi, who is in addition to being a chemical engineer, an expert on Iran's nuclear program and the politics behind it, is going to be at Town Hall tonight with as part of a panel that will discuss this. You even have a former director of the American-Israeli Political Action Committee on your program tonight, so that should be quite an event. 7 o'clock Town Hall, 8th and Seneca, downtown Seattle. The suggested donation, $10, and you can get in just by showing up. 11:46 on the Dave Ross Show, News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. There is now, in addition to a new Hanukkah song by Mormon Orrin Hatch, there is now a new Mormon Christmas song written by a Jew. Stand by.
In Ronadon's Top 5 at 5, the jurors in the Amanda Knox case tell the media why they think she's guilty. Hear the evidence you haven't heard before right here on the Ronadon Show, 97.3 FM.
This is the Dave Ross Show. Orrin Hatch proved conclusively that if you want a really decent Hanukkah song, you call on a Mormon like him. This is sung by Rashida Azar, written by Orrin Hatch.
Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, the festival of light. In Jerusalem, the oil burned bright. They lit the menorah in that holy place. What a miracle to last 8 days.
Okay, sung by Rashida Azar. Rashida, the only Rashida I know is actually a Muslim, but whatever. It's a rainbow effort that has finally provided the Jewish people with yet another singable Hanukkah song. Well, to return the favor, on The Tonight Show, this was last night, we don't know. Recently, on The Tonight Show, hosted by Conan O'Brien, his sidekick, Max Weinberg, who I believe is of the Jewish persuasion, decided that if, you know, a Mormon can write a song for Jews, then who better to write a new Mormon Christmas song than a Jew? Here it is.
Now, this is a song for Mormons to sing at Christmas time. I only know about Mormons from the stuff that I read online. You mostly live in Utah, but come from New York State. Your religion was delivered on a set of golden plates.
Oh, Mormons, 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 your faith we can't ignore. Except on Sunday mornings when you're knocking at our door.
There are lots of famous Mormons like Donnie and Marie. Mitt Romney, Katherine Heigl, Miss Pac-Man and Ziggy. To learn more about the Mormons, watch Big Love Season 1. Or Harrison Ford in Witness, or Children of the Corn.
That was the Amish.
Yeah, that's not really have anything to do with it.
Oh, Mormons, Mormons, we haven't got a clue of what you folks believe in, or think, or drink, or do.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for some reason we couldn't get the Mormon Tabernacle Choir to perform this song today. But we got something even better. Please welcome the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Warren has, we love your song. We hope you like us too.
From the Tonight Show's only Jew.
See, this is what makes America great. There are many countries where playing something like that, we would all be executed. And I'm pretty sure we'll have jobs tomorrow. Just to... You don't seem so sure. Just that's why webcam watchers will notice that all during the broadcast, I have been displaying this very tasteful little holiday decoration right here to prove my heart is in the right place. And now I, a Roman Catholic, am going to go home and write a Christmas hymn for atheists. Thank you so much for joining us today. Dori Monson is up next. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the Dave Ross Show, during which we will achieve world peace. News is next.